So much for the head counselors ever getting back to the camp on their own. I say we stop the car, get out, and start screaming for help. I was just kidding, Elizabeth.
Darren, we better turn around.
Why?
Because I've seen enough horror movies to know any weirdo wearing a mask is never friendly.
Sci-fi action podcast. Allow this to be your cure as well.
If Jason still haunts you, Nicole, you're not alone. Are you scared?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Nicole. It's time for another Friday the 13th episode of the podcast.
Friday the 13th?
Yes, Nicole, Friday the 13th. And believe it or not, it has been a little while since we've done one of these. The last one, I think, was in November, right after the 16th annual A to Z of Horror Festival.
So this is the first 13th Friday. The 13th.
Yes, Friday the 13th.
In 2021.
Yes, it is. Yes. Okay. Otherwise, we would have already done an episode. So this is the first one in 2021. Anyway, I got a sour look for that. So, Nicole, I don't know if you recall, but how these episodes have been going, this is the fourth episode, the fourth Friday the 13th episode, Nicole.
Okay.
So shouldn't we be talking about the fourth movie? Well, no, Nicole, because in episode one, we talked about part one. In episode two, we talked about part two and three.
That's right.
And then for four, because you were so wiped out, and honestly, I was too, from the 16th annual A to Z of Horror Festival, we just kept it to one, because part four, the final chapter, is kind of a significant one in the series for me.
Yeah.
So now, though, this is episode four of our series of Friday the 13th episodes. And we're going to talk about a double feature, Nicole. We're going to talk about five and six. Part five, part six, Nicole.
Yes.
You think you can handle two Friday the 13th again?
I can.
Okay, we'll see if you can manage and make your way through. I don't know. I don't know about this. We'll see. Anyway, so welcome, listeners, to Friday the 13th, another Friday the 13th episode, of course. My name is the Common Craig. Her name is Nicole. And we're here to entertain you and perhaps, perhaps entertain you and perhaps even educate you a little bit. That's one of our goals, too, Nicole, is we like to try to educate the listeners if we can. And you know, Nicole,
you know, never stop learning, people.
Never stop learning. That's right. Even as you age, like the Common Craig, don't stop learning. Anyway, so I was about to say that recently we saw a few listeners, several listeners to the show. I saw Matt from Kansas, Nicole.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Matt from Kansas, live and in person. We had breakfast together. Yeah, because he was in town visiting, so it was nice to see Matt from Kansas.
Matt from Kansas.
And then we also saw a couple of other listeners that made a comment that made the Common Craig feel pretty good. Like,
okay.
I'm, like, you know, entertaining myself by doing this podcast
yes.
is also entertaining and perhaps, like I said, educating other people.
You know,
I mean,
I feel like we entertain ourselves.
Well, absolutely. That's the main goal of the show, honestly. But yes, we saw friends and listeners.
Yes.
Emily and Bobby. We
yes.
saw them last weekend as we're recording this currently. And Bobby specifically said, I think, that she really appreciates when we do go into kind of like the history of the subject.
Okay.
Talk specifically about like the history behind these movies. And maybe like, you know, Hammer, for instance, or, you know, movies from the 70s that we talked about. So, and, you know, Bobby wasn't the first person, and Emily agreed with that also, but Bobby wasn't the first person to say that to me. Certainly my siblings have said that, but like, you know, my siblings, they have to say nice things. Bobby doesn't have to say nice things.
So, no, she doesn't.
So anyway, yes, it, that, you know, it made me feel good, Nicole. Like, we're doing some good for the world.
Good.
Yeah. So, we hope other listeners also appreciate kind of, you know, hearing the history behind things. That's,
well, sure.
That's one of the things I like to share. I like to, you know, try to get that history out there.
I'll tell you a little secret.
A little secret?
You know, Common Craig really likes to study.
I do.
You like to study these movies.
Yeah.
And you like to read and you like to watch the special features. You know, it is a passion of yours.
I am passionate, Nicole.
You are.
Yes, I am.
You are.
Anyway,
you should see his little notebook. He likes to take notes.
A little notebook.
I think you just like to write down notes.
I like writing down notes and researching. It's, yes, part of what
satisfying for you.
Fulfills me, Nicole. Yes. So, before we get on to what we're talking about today, and first of all, listeners, thank you for listening. Bobby and Emily, thank you for the nice comments. And Matt from Kansas, thanks for going out to breakfast. But anyway, and siblings also, thank you for, you know, saying that you appreciate hearing the backstory and history behind things as well. And I think my sister Amy said, like, the little details. She likes the details.
I like the little details.
Yeah.
I like those.
Good. I'm glad that you like them too, Nicole. Sometimes Nicole is bored out of her mind. Let's be honest. But
I will be honest. Sometimes.
Anyway. You know,
sometimes those 70s movies really get me.
No, Nicole. Those are good movies. Now, anyway, here we go with what we're going to talk about. But no, we have to stop because remember in our last episode, Nicole?
Yeah.
When we did a little, got to clean it up.
Clean it up.
Well, I got to tell you, Nicole, I blew that shit.
We gotta
because
clean some stuff
we gotta
up
clean
here.
Up what we cleaned up last time.
Oh man!
So I kept referring to the actor as John Forbes Robinson, as the actor who played the Man in Black in The Vampire Lovers. That we said, you know, Christopher Lee had been offered that role, and man, wouldn't that have been some awesome stuff if Christopher Lee had been in that role, and it would have tied The Vampire Lovers, those vampires, into the Dracula Hammer series. I'm getting passionate right now, Nicole.
Right, but instead it tied it to the seven deadly golden vampires.
Yeah, kind of. The Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires, but not really, because that one came out later, you know? So it kind of does, but it doesn't work as well, Nicole. Anyway, so John Forbes Robinson. That's not his name, Nicole.
Oh.
The actor's name is, it's slightly different, but I kept saying it. We kept saying it when we were talking about him, so I wanted to correct it because it is wrong, and that's misinformation, Nicole. We have to get the correct information out there.
You
and
know,
the correct name, Nicole,
okay,
what is it? John Forbes Robertson. Robertson.
Okay.
Not Robinson. So if anyone listened to the episode and is like, Common Craig, you moron. His name is John Forbes Robertson. Then, yes, I realized later, is that his name? As I was editing the show, is that his name? But at that point, it was too late. So I was like, you know, forget it. I'm just going to release it, and then we'll do an addendum and correct it, which we're doing right here and now, Nicole. This is it.
This is it.
This is it. It's done. So that's corrected. So please forgive me, listeners, for misinforming you of the actor's name.
John Forbes Robertson.
John
to forgive you.
Forbes Robertson, who I assume is
passed away,
Nicole. Passed away. I hope that he can forgive us as well, Nicole. Unless he's really a vampire, and then he might be out there somewhere.
Maybe.
Oh shit, Nicole.
Then he's
we're
pissed
in,
that you
yeah,
got his name wrong.
We're in big trouble here. Big trouble. Anyway, okay, Nicole. So that's enough messing around here. We're gonna get into
the meat.
The meat of the episode, Nicole.
Okay.
The meat of the episode. So, the first movie we're going to talk about. Now, wait a second, Nicole. If The last episode was Friday the 13th, the final chapter? How can there be another episode?
You know what? Come on, that's just the mystery. That's the mystery of Jason.
The mystery of Jason. I wondered what kind of mystery you were going to come up with. I'm thinking it's the mystery of Paramount Pictures making a lot of money at the box office. That's what has resulted in a return here.
It really is the mystery of all movie killers.
Yes.
You know?
It is.
Kind of.
It kind of is, Nicole.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how there can be another movie in a series that just had a final chapter. Nicole? You were just kind of a little bit making fun of me for having all these notes and things. But you know what all these notes just did, Nicole? It made it very easy to go back and check some information on Friday the 13th, the final chapter.
That's right. Okay.
So, flipping back in the notes.
I'm not saying their notes are bad.
I know, I'm just teasing you. So, as I flip back to the notes for Friday the 13th, final chapter, which we talked about in November, listeners, if you haven't listened to the prior Friday the 13th episodes, you probably want to do that before you listen to this one. So go find them in the archives. Go look at cureforthecommoncraig.com and find those episodes, Nicole.
Okay.
Anyway, so Friday the 13th, the final chapter, we were talking about how can that not be the end?
It was the end, though.
The reason that it is not the end is because Friday the 13th, the final chapter, listeners, as a reminder, because you can't remember back from November, that movie was made on a $2.2 million budget. $2.2 million. It opened at number one, Nicole. Number one in the nation. Its opening weekend making $11.2 million in its opening weekend. Blew away its production costs right there.
Yeah.
But then, overall, Nicole, at the box office, it ended up making $33 million.
Wow.
And Paramount said, oh my God.
We're making more of these.
With like a $30 million profit?
Yeah.
We're making another one of these cheap little pieces of garbage. So that's what they did. And I say that lovingly because I love the Friday the 13th series, obviously. Yes. So what they come up with here is how do we make a sequel where we just killed off the main antagonist, one of the like most famous horror antagonists of all time? They just killed him off. How can you bring him back, Nicole?
Well, you just make a movie and call it Part 5, A New Beginning.
Yes, that is what you do, Nicole. So yes, what we have here, that gave me the giggles. What we have here is Friday the 13th, A New Beginning from 1985, Nicole. This movie is rated R, although getting that R was a little bit of a struggle. It runs 1 hour and 32 minutes. It was released March 22nd of 1985. So, Friday the 13th, A New Beginning is the title on screen. However, in all of the promotional material, like posters and everything like that, it does say Part 5. But for some reason, like on the actual titles, it doesn't say Part 5. It just says A New Beginning. So I guess maybe for the promotional materials, they're like, well, the last one was the final chapter, so maybe we better let people know that this is like the fifth part of the series. So, I don't know. They ended up doing Part 5 on the posters, promo materials. I don't know if there's anything where it doesn't say Part 5 as far as the promo materials, honestly. I looked, and I didn't see anything, but I could have certainly missed something. Anyway, so, as I said, they had a little bit of a difficult time getting that R rating. So, Nicole, remind me, And we'll try to get back to that if we don't forget. So, the movie was released March 22nd, 1985. Nicole, let's talk about that weekend at the box office, because we haven't done this for a while and it's kind of exciting.
Okay.
So, this movie, Friday the 13th, A New Beginning, it cost, again, $2.2 million. Huh.
Exactly the same.
The same as the Final Chapter budget.
That's kind of funny.
Now, this one, Nicole, do you think a return to the series, do you think this one did well? Well, yes, it did, Nicole. So, Friday the 13th, The New Beginning, opens again at number one in its opening weekend, Nicole. But it doesn't make quite as much money, $8 million in its opening weekend. However, that is enough to surpass another new release. Number two, Porky's Revenge, which I think maybe is the third Porky's movie. I don't know.
I don't know how the trilogy runs.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's Porky's 2, then Porky's Revenge, but I haven't seen like those. I've seen the first one. I'll admit to having seen the first one.
I've seen the first one like a lot.
Nicole's seen the first one 17 times at least. Porky's Revenge made $6.2 million. Number three that weekend was Mask. Not The Mask with Jim Carrey. That was much later.
Cher
and Eric Stoltz. Yes. That one made just under what Porky's Revenge took in, $6.1 million. Number four was The Last Dragon, making $5.2 million. And then number five, Nicole, was Baby, Secret of the Lost Legend. With a little dinosaur. Do you remember that? Like a tiny little dinosaur that was cute and snuggly. You have no memory of that?
I have no memory
I remember it coming out and thinking like, oh, this is sweet and sugary, but like even as a kid, I didn't want to see it.
I have no memory of that.
Anyway, I've never seen the movie. It made $4 million at the box office, Nicole. So there's your top five for that weekend, March 22nd, 1985, Nicole.
Okay.
But of course, as we said, Friday the 13th, number one. So anyway, Nicole, how do we do this? How do we resurrect Jason? How do we even do this? So the studio, basically, they hire this director who also wrote the script. It's based on story elements that were already there. Someone else kind of came up with a story, but then the director, writer, Danny Steinman, he's the one who actually did the screenplay and did the directing on the movie.
Okay.
So basically, the producers told him, one specific producer apparently, Phil Scuderi, told him, look, Danny, we want two things out of this movie. And listeners, gear up for some spoilers. If you haven't seen the movie, you're going to get some spoilers.
Sure.
We may not spoil the very final super ultimate spoiler, but we're going to spoil a lot of other things here. So they tell Danny Steinman, they say, look, here's your goal. Your goal is to have a shock, a scare, or a kill every 7 to 8 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
And then your ultimate goal is to turn Tommy into Jason. So, if you remember, listeners, the character who does away with Jason at the end of the final chapter
is Tommy.
Is Tommy. Tommy Jarvis, who in that movie is portrayed by Corey Feldman.
Right.
So, that's like the natural progression of the series, I think, where they're kind of thinking. Because apparently they didn't tell the director of the final chapter, Joseph Zito, they did not tell him at the end of part four, the final chapter, you know, give us something. You know, give us like a little hint that maybe something could come after this.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, they didn't tell him that, but he did it anyway. Because at the very end of the movie, Tommy, Corey Feldman, looks into the camera, and it's kind of like this like look of like, oh, shit, Tommy is not going to be okay.
Yeah,
after this,
Tommy
Nicole.
Is not right.
He's not going to be okay. So, that's what Danny Steinman is tasked with here. Danny Steinman not a lot of credits to his name as far as directing or anything like that. He did direct a movie that we've talked about on the show before in our Linda Blair Actor Autopsy episode. We talk about a movie called Savage Streets from 1984, which is not for everyone because, like this movie, Friday the 13th, A New Beginning, which is, I've often said, it's the sleaziest entry in the series. Like Savage Streets, which is also
pretty much
kind of a sleaze fest, really, as far as what's going on in the movie, Nicole. So, Danny Steinman also directed a movie called The Unseen in 1980, but apparently he wasn't given, like, final director approval on the cut, and apparently it pissed him off, so he had his name removed from the movie, so it's under the name Peter Folleg, apparently, the director credit. I've seen the movie before, but it's been a long time. I think it's involving some sort of, like, a being, maybe someone who is, I don't know, malformed or something, living in the basement of a house. Anyway, yeah, so The Unseen, look it up. I haven't seen that for a long time, if you're interested in that. Also, prior to this, apparently, Danny Steinman had done a 70s porn film, Nicole.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, an X-rated adult film.
So sometimes he directed referred to one.
As porn.
He didn't star in, he directed.
I don't know if he started it. Nicole, I have not seen it. But apparently, he directed it. So, in a lot of the research, in the book Crystal Lake Memories, for instance, there's a lot of talk, other people kind of like, kind of taking some digs at Danny Steinman because of his history of having done a porn film.
You know what? It still works.
Yeah, exactly. Like people, he still needs to get paid.
People had to have a job.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, there's a lot of, like, a lot of the people that are interviewed for A New Beginning in the book Crystal Lake Memories, yeah, they really do kind of like, you know, I'm not sure if this is because of where, you know, Danny Steinman, you know, his career was before this, or, you know, like, I'm not sure if this is because he, you know, had done porn before this. It comes up a lot. A lot of people bring that up. So they're constantly kind of like jabbing him a little bit. And I think Danny Steinman has since passed away, Nicole. But anyway, he's also in the book. He talks.
I wonder if they brought it up in his eulogy.
They probably did. Now, Danny Steinman, he might be dead right now, but he did have a history of directing one porn film.
Yeah. Was that you eulogizing him?
Yes, that was me right there. Anyway, so, yeah. Anyway, we'll get off the porn for Danny Steinman. So perhaps as a result, A New Beginning is maybe a little sleazy, but whatever, that's fine. You know, like, I'll watch some sleaze, I don't care. So anyway, Nicole, this one is a little bit different from the rest of the series, obviously. And there are many reasons for this, but let's kind of get into the movie a little bit here. We start off, Nicole, with this dream sequence, Nicole.
Yeah.
And I just spoiled it because I shouldn't have spoiled that it's a dream sequence. But it's a dream sequence that we're spoiling here, Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
And in this dream sequence, we have a returning
Corey Feldman.
Yes, returning here.
Special appearance, I guess.
A special appearance for the dream sequence. So, it's raining. There's rain crashing down. He's wearing a yellow slicker. And these two idiots, Nicole.
I know. These two dumbasses.
Total dumbasses.
Double dumbasses.
Double dumbass on them, Nicole. Anyway, they come out of nowhere, basically. And they're looking for the grave, Nicole. The grave of Jason Voorhees.
And they decide to dig him up.
Yeah.
Why is this a good idea?
They start digging him up, and one of the guys says,
"Let's rip this sucker open.
Gotta get a look at the main man."
So they're digging him up. They do dig him up.
Dig.
Yeah, the one guy's really pushy because I told you when we were watching this, he doesn't want to do most of the digging, so he keeps shouting at his friend to dig instead. So they dig him up. Jason's got, he's just laying in there with his mask on and everything. He's
with
got
worms all over
worms it. Coming out of his eyes and stuff. Nicole doesn't like the look of this at all. But it doesn't take long. The rain pouring on Jason apparently just kind of snaps him out of it. So he immediately stabs and kills two guys.
So then...
He's buried with a machete,
he's
too.
He's buried with a machete. And I'm like, what? What idiot buries Jason with a machete?
Who buries him with a machete,
so,
Nicole?
So anyway, he's got it in his hand, and that's the first thing that happens, you know, is he sticks somebody with it.
He's immediately killing these people. So these double dumbasses get killed off. And then, of course, Corey Feldman is there as young Tommy Jarvis.
Right. But he's hidden behind some, you know, foliage. And, like...
Foliage.
Jason immediately spots it.
Oh, he knows right where he is. Well, he's wearing that bright yellow slicker. It's his own damn fault. So, Jason goes over there and, you know, he raises his arm up and he's gonna machete Corey Feldman into tiny little pieces, Nicole. Yep. But...
Tommy wakes up.
Of course, Tommy wakes up.
And he's more of an adult.
This is a dream sequence, we realize, which we already spoiled for you. And then he's, this is like a few years in the future and... Yes, Tommy is in a truck of some sort, a vehicle.
Yeah.
Who is, and it's taking him to a...
Like a youth home.
A youth home, youth sanitarium, something called Pinehurst is where they're going. Now pause, Nicole, pause. So this initial dream sequence, Nicole, Corey Feldman could not return for the full role of Tommy Jarvis. And perhaps it was... geared in multiple ways. I would guess primarily due to his prior commitments. So, prior commitment that he was working on at the same time, Nicole, was a movie called The Goonies. So, he's doing The Goonies, and he doesn't have time for Friday the 13th, The New Beginning. He's already committed to The Goonies. So...
And
I don't know.
Probably not old enough.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like
maybe he's
for
not
the
as old.
Direction
as
they wanted to take.
They
it.
Would want to go. Yeah, exactly. So it's probably two pieces,
two parts
to there. to the puzzle there. But apparently, these scenes, Nicole, and I've heard two different things about this, but it's very close, so it doesn't matter. I'm a little bit of a stickler, though. So this opening dream sequence where Corey Feldman is in the rain here. The shots, the scenes involving Corey Feldman were actually shot in either his backyard or his neighbor's backyard. So, because of the time crunch, because of prior commitments, they're like, man, we really want to get, Corey Feldman in this movie for a little bit. Yeah. Hey, can we, shoot in your backyard or your neighbor's backyard? And they just go there on location and they just do it.
Okay.
So, that's where it happened.
Just turn the sprinkler on so it's raining.
That's right. Hit the sprinklers. Let's get to work, Nicole. So anyway, like you said, that's it for Corey Feldman. That's all we see of him in the movie. We now have John Shepard in the role of Tommy, Nicole. So Tommy Jarvis, the adventures of Tommy Jarvis continue on here. And this is the first time, really, that a protagonist has carried over from a prior Friday the 13th movie, since Adrian King survived the first movie as Alice and then returns at the beginning of part two.
Yeah.
So, this one, though, however, Tommy, he's going to stick around for a while here.
Yeah.
So, Tommy hangs around. Apparently, Nicole, I've never counted, but apparently Tommy, lines of dialogue, not counting any kind of screams or shouts or laughs or grunts, actual words spoken by Tommy Jarvis in this movie, apparently 24.
Wow. Well, he doesn't speak very much at all.
He's definitely the silent type.
Yeah. Well, they make a comment about that, pretty early on after they meet him at Pinehurst about him being silent.
Yes, they do. They do, Nicole. So, we have this kind of group of young people. Kids, teenagers. Are they all supposed to be teenagers?
I think they're just the troubled youth.
The troubled youth of America, Nicole, here at Pinehurst. And they have, a variety of issues and things like that. And I think Matt from Kansas has asked in the past, are there movies that do a good job of depicting, people, situations involving mental illness or mental health? I would go on to say here about Friday the 13th, New Beginning, that this movie is not a good standard to show people who are interested in seeing something depicting actual mental health issues in a very credible, kind of nice
way. Is a bunch of kids and they have supposed issues.
Yeah, and, you know, some of these are not, you know, it's not handled that well most of the time. No, this is not the gold standard for a movie depicting realistic mental health issues, Nicole. So, we have all these kids with all these problems. So we have the people who kind of run this facility. We have Matt, who is played by Richard Young, and we have Pam, played by Melanie Kinneman. So they kind of welcome Tommy, and Tommy's not very excited to be there. He's very quiet. We do have the little fellow, who's not mentally ill, apparently. He doesn't have any sort of mental issues or anything like that.
He's just there to visit his grandpa.
Yeah, he's hanging out with his grandpa. And this is Reggie the Reckless, Nicole, they call him. Played by Shavar Ross, who had been in, like, different Strokes around this time as, like, a returning character, repeating character. But, yes, Reggie's hanging out with his grandpa, Gramps, or George, played by Vernon Washington, who's been in a ton of stuff over the years, too. But Reggie, yeah, kind of tries to, you know, hit it off with Tommy. And we have, really, basically a return to Tommy's kind of creativity, his mask-making ability. Special effects ability returns here because he pulls out a bunch of masks. And I think there's a line where he gets upset because Reggie is going to, like, touch one of the masks, or does touch one of the masks.
Yeah, he touches it and he jerks it away and says, be careful or something.
Maybe that was part of his lines of dialogue. But yeah, Reggie says, boy, you act like you made these things. And Tommy says, I did.
So that's like three or four words.
Got a few words right there. But yeah, so we have these crazy neighbors, Nicole. Some crazy neighbors,
man,
who don't like this, quote, nut house being here.
These neighbors are just...
And oh my gosh, yeah, they are just
everything,
like...
Everything that's wrong.
Yeah, it's Ethel and Junior, Nicole. And yeah. Ethel is the mom and Junior is the son. And, they do add an element of filth to the movie.
Oh,
they're like,
yeah,
they're just dirty, dirty people, Nicole. Yes,
just
fingernails. Look at their fingernails, Nicole,
in
the movie.
And she's cooking a lot. She cooks a lot. And,
yeah, she spits in the stew at one point because Junior pisses her off. So, yeah. You know, and Junior, when he's eating the stew, is like slopping it all over his face. They're just filthy, Nicole.
And they have it just everywhere, all over their face. They look dirty and greasy.
Have they ever bathed, Nicole?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think they've
ever
bathed.
I don't think it is on top of their priority list.
Yes.
And that's okay.
That's okay, I suppose, Nicole. But bathing is a good thing to do, everyone. Listeners, you should bathe. Yes, we have these crazy neighbors that pop up occasionally. But then, Nicole, we have the character Joey, played by Dominic Brascia. And I guess Joey is kind of he seems like a mild-mannered fellow.
He's kind of the
standard chubby character in a movie, Nicole.
And he's eating his candy bars.
Eating some candy bars.
He just wants friends.
He wants friends.
He was an orphan, and
that's right.
It just seems like he wants friends, and he wants to be able to do things.
He wants friends. He wants to do things with these other people at Pinehurst. So Joey, he tries to make friends with Vic. And Vic is played by Mark Venturini, who also, we've talked about on the show before, he was Suicide in The Return of the Living Dead. Also from the same year, 1985, Nicole. So Mark Venturini, we're going to mention, he did die in 1996 at age 35. He was very young. Joey wants to make friends with Vic. However, the problem is, Nicole, Vic is chopping at a log for some reason.
He's chopping at a log.
With an axe.
He just looks like he's letting off steam.
Yeah.
And Joey is kind of bumbling. And, man, it's the wrong time.
The wrong time to bumble around Vic.
It's the wrong time.
He keeps, pushing to make friends with him. And offers him a candy bar. Joey puts the candy bar down on the log, and Vic just chops it too. And then, you know, Joey's upset.
Joey kind of gets mad because he's kind of possessive about the candy bars.
Yeah, he just wasted one of his candy bars. Chopping it up.
Yeah.
And then, well.
You know, Vic, before I came here, I never had anything to do, maybe in an orphan and all. People always teased me about sitting around like some kind of pig or something. But here it's different. I can help others and do a lot of things. You know something? I really love it here.
I hate it.
You know, to be perfectly honest with you, I never really chopped wood before, but it certainly looks like fun. Leave me alone! Here, Vic, want a bite? Here, I'll just put it over here. And later on, when you're hungry, you can have it. Well, if that's the way you feel, forget it, Vic. Just forget it. But I think you're really out of line.
Vic proceeds to
chop Joey.
Yeah. So Vic, he loses it. He cannot handle it.
And you know, Joey's just, poor Joey.
That's right.
That's just a little sad.
So we have a death here, Nicole. This is clearly not Jason. So anyway, we've got like a crew then. Some paramedics show up in a little ambulance, and we get this little sequence where Joey's chopped up, and one of them uncovers
him and shows all the teenagers Joey's chopped up body with an arm just stacked up on
it. He does. It's just horrible.
What person does that in front of other people?
Yeah, come on. Who's gonna do that?
Especially youth.
Yes, the youth of America, Nicole.
That's right.
But then we also have here another paramedic, and his name's Roy. And the other paramedic says to him, he says, "Get your hands dirty, Roy. Come on, get your hands dirty." And Roy seems a little freaked out. He's got this
Roy
look on his face.
Roy does have look of like deer in headlights.
Yeah,
look,
he's definitely kind of freaked out by the situation. Yeah. So what we've got here, Nicole, is a situation where we're trying to kind of establish possible killers. This is listed on IMDb as a horror mystery, Nicole. So the mystery element comes in because if Jason's dead, who is the killer, Nicole?
Who is this guy or gal?
Yeah, exactly, Nicole. Could be a gal.
What are you doing?
So we cut to this scene later with these two more dumbasses, Nicole. These absolute dumbasses in this broken down car in the middle of the woods. And I gotta tell you, Nicole, the one character specifically that sits in the car and keeps hassling his buddy to fix the car is possibly my most hated character in the entire series of Friday the 13th movies.
Whoa.
So I guess he does his job because I hate him, Nicole.
You hate him.
He is awful. In fact, this movie, for me, out of the series, has probably the largest collection of characters that I hate out of the entire series.
Okay.
There are some people I cannot stand here. So these two dumbasses trying to fix the car. One guy says he's got to go take a crap in the woods. So he's going to leave and go to the bathroom in the woods. And Nicole's upset because he doesn't have any toilet paper. He's not going to wash his hands. So
what's he going to wipe with?
What's he going to do? He comes back. Of course, his friend is dead. And soon after, he is dead as well. So it doesn't take long here. We're kind of still. And we never see the killer. So we don't see who the killer is. We don't even see someone in a hockey mask or anything like that.
It's just an arm at this point.
We don't see anyone, Nicole. So the neighbors again, back with the neighbors. You got this situation where you have Ethel and Junior, the dirty neighbors, making their stew and eating the stew or whatever. You got this guy that comes up to the window and he's like asking for work. Do you remember this,
yes,
Nicole?
Yeah.
And he's asking to do some work, and Ethel says, you know, go clean out the shit out of the chicken coop, and, you know, I'll give you some dinner. And the guy's basically like, okay, and, you know, goes and proceeds to clean out the chicken coop. And Ethel specifically calls him, like, an ugly man. And we're thinking, Nicole, you know, Ethel, you're filthy, you know. Why are you giving this guy a hard time? He's not even that ugly.
You know what? It might have been, like, that it's an ugly man that goes there.
Yeah, that's what she said. That's what she said, yeah.
And I thought maybe she was just referring to cleaning out the chicken coop.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Not that he was ugly.
Not that he was ugly. That the task he was going to perform was ugly. Yes. But I don't know, Nicole. Whatever.
I would hate to see the chicken coop because of the state of their
everything else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Back at Pinehurst, Nicole, we have breakfast. The breakfast table has been set. And the person who sets the breakfast table, the places, the place settings, Nicole, accidentally sets places for Joey and Vic. And the one character says, you don't set places for a dead person. Tommy comes in, and Tommy is set to go find a different character. I think that character's name is Billy. So he's supposed to go get the other character, Eddie, I think. So he's supposed to go get Eddie, and Eddie comes in and scares Tommy by wearing one of his own masks.
Yeah.
So Tommy then doesn't appreciate this. Eddie starts kind of punching him in the shoulder a little bit, giving him some little punches, just messing with him. Hey, buddy. Hey, what you so upset for? That kind of thing. And then Tommy grabs him, picks him up, flips him through this table.
Man, and it was really aggressive.
Yeah, that whole sequence, I get such a kick out of it because Tommy, he flips out, Nicole. Busting up that table, messing everything up. We have Eddie, who has this lady friend at this place, Pinehurst. Her name is Tina, I think.
They've already gotten in trouble for going over to the neighbors.
Yeah.
And having sex in their yard.
Having sex, like, in on their property, basically. Yeah. So, yeah, that came up earlier in the movie already once. Well, they want to do it again. So they're going off to do it again. And here, too, Nicole, we have a very violent sequence involving a killer who we do not see, Nicole.
That's right.
There's like some hedge clippers that go into Tina's eyes.
Well, we don't see that.
We don't. We see the results.
We see and we can suppose that's what happened later.
And, well, we do see what happened later. Nicole, you don't remember that? You blocked that part out.
I mean, we see her face, but there's no head trimmers in them.
Well, no, but there's a big, like, gouge in her face. Good grief, Nicole. I tell you what, you are totally desensitized. Anyway, then Eddie, he gets killed, of course, too, with a belt strap wrapped around a tree, crushing his face and skull. So, some violent death here, Nicole. But there's also this, like, sex scene here. So the sex scene, I think what we get is about, like, I don't know, I think it's like 10 seconds. It's pretty brief. But there's a lot of shots of just like kind of Tina, like just like laying around naked. So apparently here is where the actor, who I think her name is actually Debbie Sue Voorhees, is in the movie here as Tina, and said that she actually said, you know, like, the director, Danny Steinman, was very professional here and everything, but other people on the set were saying how, like, you know, this, like, went on forever. Like, he shot this forever. Like, apparently, the original sex scene was something like 3 minutes long or something like that.
Oh, my gosh!
And then finally got cut down to about, like, 10 seconds. So apparently, like, they really, like, you know, he really was into shooting this scene. And again, that's what led people on the production to say,
porn.
This is his porn history right here. All about the porn. So, but apparently, yeah, she's come out to say that, you know, for her, yeah, she thought she was treated very well and it was very professional, whatever. So, but this is part of what is going on in this movie, that originally they had a lot of problems getting it past the MPAA. As far as getting a rating, getting an R rating. X rating here, Nicole, was a serious situation. They don't want it rated X because And X is like a killer at the movie theater.
That's right.
In the
80s. I mean,
you don't want that in the 80s, Nicole.
You want all the teenagers to be able to come.
You want people to go. So you got to give that R rating. So apparently, Nicole, overall, for violence and, you know, nudity, sex, what have you, 16 scenes were edited, and it took 9 trips to the MPAA.
Wow.
9 times. They submitted it 9 different times before they finally came away with an R rating, Nicole.
Got it down.
Yes. Think about what this movie could have been otherwise. Goodness. We've got 2 other characters who I absolutely hate. We've got Billy and Lana, who are like at this like cafe or little diner or something like that. And Billy's basically waiting on Lana to come out because she's getting off work. And it's like typical 80s. He's doing cocaine in the car, getting his cocaine ready. Of course, he's killed. And then Lana comes out. She finds the cocaine, and she's going to do some cocaine, too. So she's about to hit the cocaine. And then, of course, she gets killed as well, Nicole. So
they do add some comedic relief.
I guess they do. I hate them, too, Nicole. I hate these characters, too.
Yes.
So they're absolutely terrible. So, yeah, this is totally, though, like, totally 80s with, like, the cocaine
yes.
and the drug use. And apparently, even on the set, like, cocaine use was like running rampant on the set too, so it was just typical of the mid 80s in Hollywood. This is just
kind of probably real cocaine.
It probably was in the movie.
In the movie,
although the actor who played Billy said it wasn't, but hey, you never know. Back to Pinehurst, Nicole. We have these poor characters who we barely get to know, who have to get knocked off every 7 to 8 minutes. We've established something terrible has to happen. So, we never see the killer. We're still never seeing the killer, Nicole. These people are getting killed, but we don't see who's doing it. We've got Pam, who's going to take Reggie to go visit his brother, Demon. His name's Demon. Going to go visit him at a little trailer park where he's parked his van for the night or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how they know he's there. I have no idea. That's never really established. But they ask Tommy to go along. Tommy's going to ride along. So Tommy goes along with them. Ends up getting in a fight with Junior, the neighbor, at this little trailer park area. Kind of beats him up. He goes racing back to Mom,
crying,
back to Ethel, crying to his mother. And we've got this killer who's like really getting around this area.
The killer is really getting around. And that's one thing that when we were watching this movie, I was thinking, man, he was just there and now he's here.
This killer, and it could be a she, this killer
knows the area.
Knows the area well, yeah.
Or has transportation nearby.
Keeps getting around because Junior gets killed, Ethel gets killed. All these characters that we've established, just by kind of seeing them here and there, basically they're just fodder to get knocked off
right.
by this killer.
But then he's back at the trailer park too.
Yeah, he's back at the trailer park because after Reggie visits with Demon for a while, Tommy gets upset and Pam's like, oh my gosh, Tommy's run away. He's gone after beating up Junior. Tommy kind of like took off. So Pam's like, oh my God, you know, like Reggie, we got to go. We got to go see if we can find Tommy. So they end up leaving. But Demon, who's played by Miguel Nunez Jr., who Nicole was also in from 1985, Return of the Living Dead, as the character Spider and Suicide.
Yeah.
So he's into this like enchilada kick.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And this is like an amusing sequence in the movie.
Enchilada and tacos.
The enchiladas get to him.
What's wrong? Oh. Hey, you okay?
Oh, damn enchiladas.
Oh. You gonna be all right?
They get to him, and he's got to use the outhouse
yeah.
at the trailer park, Nicole. Well, you know something bad's going to happen if you go in the outhouse.
Yeah.
So he goes in the outhouse, and his girlfriend is there kind of shaking the outhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And we're led to believe maybe this could be a killer. And Demon, too, thinks, you know, maybe
yeah.
this is some sort of a killer or something like that. But it's his girlfriend. And, Nicole, they start singing to each other. While Demon is taking a shit in the outhouse, They start singing back and forth to each other through the outhouse tin walls, Nicole. Yeah. And this, I think, is one of those scenes that is like a goofy, crazy standout from this movie that, like, people just kind of remember. Because the enchiladas, he's got to poop, Nicole.
Yeah, he's pooping in the outhouse.
They're going to sing back and forth this little, you know, romantic sequence while he's pooping out those enchiladas here.
And she just had said there's going to be a snake crawling through the hole of the outhouse and bite him in the butt.
That's right. So, you know, of course, Demon and his girlfriend,
should we sing the song for everybody?
No.
Ooh, baby. Hey, baby. Hey, baby.
Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby.
Hey, baby. Hey, baby.
Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby. Ooh. Nita? Hey, girl, what's up?
Oh. But... He is, they're both killed, of course, too. They're killed.
Yeah.
We've got Reggie and Pam have gone back to the house, back to Pinehurst. So we got these characters at Pinehurst who start getting knocked off, and again, we barely know them. You got Jake and you have Robin, who he's interested in kind of, you know, maybe starting a relationship or making love with Robin, Nicole, and she kind of laughs it off and really hurts his feelings.
It really hurts his feelings.
And of course, we know what's going to happen to those two characters after that. And you also have the character Violet, who's played by Tiffany Helm. And Violet, she has this great little sequence where she's practicing the robot, Nicole.
Oh, yeah, she's dancing.
In her room. Yeah, the robot dance, of course. So she's practicing the robot in her room, and it's just... It's so 80s, Nicole. So 80s.
So 80s.
And there's a great song playing called His Eyes. And it's like the chorus is like there's a man with no life in his eyes is what it is. And it's a spooky little song from the 80s, Nicole, by Pseudo Echo.
There's a man with no life in his eyes.
She's doing the robot. And, well, who comes into the room? A killer. We don't know who it is, but a killer comes into the room and kills her. So, apparently here too, Nicole, this was a cut that was a tasteful decision, Nicole. Because apparently the original death for Violet, she gets stabbed kind of in like the belly, chest area. Mm-hmm. Originally, apparently, she was going to get stabbed in the crotch, Nicole. And apparently they said, maybe this is crossing the line. This is a little bit too much. So they backed off on that.
A crotch stab's never in good taste.
That was not in good taste. So they decided, you know what? Yeah, we'll just, you know, just stab her in the chest, the belly, something like that, and be done with it. Okay. So that's it for Violet. We've got poor Reggie still hanging around here. We got Pam.
And Reggie was asleep on the couch.
Yeah, Reggie, he was asleep on the couch at that point. But he's awake now. Tommy's still around. But Tommy, Nicole, are we to believe that maybe he's responsible?
I know.
It
alludes to this.
A lot of red herrings in this movie. Yeah. Different people are kind of introduced, thrown out there as possible
candidates,
killers.
Yeah.
But finally, Pam and Reggie... running around in the rain at the end of this movie, Nicole. And they end up in a barn. And here in the barn, finally, Nicole, we see someone wearing a onesie, Nicole, some coveralls.
That's right.
And a hockey mask, Nicole. But I don't know if you noticed this, but the hockey mask in this movie, Nicole...
Has a blue triangle.
It's different.
And it doesn't have a machete slash in the upper left-hand corner.
That's right. So, Nicole
I didn't notice.
She did notice. Hmm. And yeah, the primary thing that, you know, is going to stand out, of course, Nicole even went so far as to remember that slash in the top of it where he had been chopped before, if this is Jason.
Yeah.
But, Nicole, the blue... the blue paint on the mask instead of red is like a total giveaway. This isn't the real Jason.
That's not him.
This isn't him. So, Reggie and Pam, working on fighting him off, primarily Pam, poor Pam, comes out with a chainsaw and starts kind of like, they start battling with machete versus chainsaw until it runs out of gas, of course.
Bird stops. And then, like, at first you see Reggie is like, oh, yeah, and then it stops and he's like, oh.
Oh, yeah, he was so upset. Yeah, cheering her on, cheering Pam on, and then no. It's not going to work out. But they do eventually take care of him here because you've got Reggie. He got Reggie driving this like tractor with a lift on the front, Nicole.
Yeah, a bucket.
Is that what you call it? A bucket? That's what I was going to say. On the front. And he kind of like, he crashes into this killer at one point and wounds him. So this killer, like, he can be hurt. And we see this a few times because at another point, I think it's Tommy stabs him with his little pocket knife, because everybody has a pocket knife, stabs him kind of in the groin almost, like in the upper interior of his thigh.
So this and leg,
his
thigh,
leg.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like, and this killer definitely is showing pain. Like, he's not feeling good at this point after he's getting hit with this tractor and then getting stabbed in the leg and like...
No.
Yeah, there's probably some other wound that he's suffered at some point here too. But we've got Reggie near this sequence somewhere. Let's out this... I believe that the subtitles said that it was a screech. Classified it as a screech rather than a scream. And it is fantastic, Nicole. I started laughing because I thought it was so funny. And I remember this, of course, from prior viewings.
Craig, you laughed so much.
But the scream for this is fantastic. It's a fantastic scream, screech, whatever it is. And Nicole's like, Craig, he's just a little kid, but like it just sounds so good because it's kind of like high pitched, and it's fantastic.
It cracked you up.
I love
for
it.
Sure.
I love it. If you watch this movie for anything, watch it for Reggie screaming. So eventually, they end up knocking Jason out of like the hayloft. He like grabs onto something because you have to have like a jump scare, of course.
Yeah,
and it's not Jason, we know, but he's knocked out. The killer's knocked out of the loft. And then somehow, like,
grabs onto Reggie and tries to
pull himself back up. But they end up knocking him off.
Tommy and Pam, they drag Reggie back.
And ends up falling on this, like, bed of, like, spikes for some reason. Yeah. There's, like, a bed of spikes down there. Farm machinery that has become a bed of spikes.
That looks like a bed of spikes.
The killer falls down, and the mask has come off. And it's revealed who he is. And Nicole, and probably almost every viewer who has never seen this before, sees this person, and they're like,
who the hell's that?
Yeah. So that's one of the main problems with this movie, is who the hell is that?
Yeah.
So, maybe this wasn't particularly effective. So, we won't, I guess, spoil who that is.
But it connects in a roundabout way.
It does, but it's such a weak connection, Nicole. It's so weak. It's just stupid, Nicole. So yeah, they make this connection, but then of course there's a final sequence, Nicole.
Yeah.
A final sequence to wrap up the movie here.
With Tommy.
Yeah, wrapping up the movie with Tommy, Pam, Reggie in the hospital. And Tommy's being cared for, and we set it up here, of course, Nicole.
Yeah.
For a return. And this is what Danny Steinman was told to do. Turn Tommy into Jason. We close out the movie with Tommy wearing the mask that he somehow kept from the scene, the blue colored mask. Wearing that, and we end the movie with him looking like he might possibly be about to kill Pam. And that's where things end, Nicole. Friday the 13th, a new beginning, Nicole. It's the outlier of the series, for sure, at this point.
For sure.
it has some unusual things going on for it. The fact that we never see the killer, there's never a killer shown. We do see Jason throughout the movie in these little, like, visions.
Flashbacks or
that
visions.
Tommy has.
Right.
Yeah. Tommy has these little visions where he'll see, like, Jason standing in the room or outside Pinehurst, the building itself. He'll, like, see him standing out there and, you know, get freaked out by it. So we do see Jason in these kind of, like, dream sequence kind of situations. But Jason, Nicole, does not appear in this movie at all. It's a Friday the 13th movie with no Jason.
Not the real Jason.
Not the real Jason. It's got this knockoff phony Jason.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Nicole, so this movie, this is the only time in the series that Jason has never appeared in a Friday the 13th movie. And even saying that, it's kind of like, huh?
Huh?
Yeah. So, yeah. Friday the 13th, A New Beginning, Nicole. It does have a lot of these, like, character actors that we see in this movie that later on, you know, pop up in a lot of other things. Ethel, played by Carol Locatell, shows up in a lot of things later. Richard Young, who plays Matt. Vernon Washington as Gramps, George. Marco St. John as Sheriff Tucker, and Richard Lineback as Deputy Dodd. These are all people that, like, later on, like, down the years, you'll see them in movies. You'll see him in movies later. Yeah, absolutely. You have Tom Morga, who plays the stunt work, does the stunt work as Jason in this movie. So, he's uncredited in the movie, but trust me, Tom Morga in the movie as Jason here, doing the work. What did you think here of Friday the 13th, A New Beginning, Nicole, part 5 of the series? Based on the other ones that you've seen, and as a standalone, A Mass or Murder, Nicole, Friday the 13th, A New Beginning.
Well, I think you have to mass it just to have the whole series.
Just have the whole series. So you're making excuses for it.
But I actually think that there is enough comedic relief in this one that it's funny to me.
Yeah, there's definitely some fun to be had.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, this was mentioned by someone in the book Crystal Lake Memories, that they felt like Danny Steinman was kind of having fun with the genre a little bit.
Yeah.
With some of the humor and some of the, like, over-the-top ridiculousness that goes on in the movie and some of the situations as well. So they feel like it was kind of, yeah, like a spoof of things almost in a way. A low-key spoof to the Friday the 13th series, but he definitely ups the body count, because at this point, no other Friday the 13th movie had had this many deaths.
Yeah.
Also ups the nudity. Prior to this movie, no other Friday the 13th movie had had this much nudity. So he did his job, I guess, in trying to deliver those shock scares or kills. And, you know, nudity, you throw that in as well. That's another moneymaker, right?
Sure.
For teenage audiences. So, yeah, it's okay. The movie is not, it's not my favorite of the series at all. But,
well, I
can have fun watching it.
Thinking of series, is it doesn't really fit.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I said, it's like the outlier in the series.
Right.
And it's a weird one. Yeah, it's definitely kind of a strange entry, especially this early on when there are other ones that follow this that we'll get to in our
next
segment. Nicole?
So, yeah, for what it is, I think it's not bad. But when you list them in Friday the 13th world,
yes,
it's the least.
It's the least, you think. Okay, so far of what you've seen.
Sure.
Because there are more to come, Nicole.
Oh, yeah, and there's...
This isn't the end.
I know.
So, yeah, for me, you know, this movie's not very good. It's not very good, but there are elements that are fun about it. You can have fun with it, but please don't expect this to be, like, something that's going to be fantastic, because it is not. However, as a fan of the series, I watch it every once in a while. This is one that I don't hate watching. There are certain ones that I do kind of hate watching.
Hate watching.
This one isn't really one of them. So
no, actually, I think I've seen this one several times.
Even without Jason, you know, like this one still has fun things about it. All right, Nicole, let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about yet another Friday the 13th movie. Where do we go from A New Beginning, Nicole? A New Beginning? Tommy? Is Tommy going to return, Nicole, in part 6?
Guess we'll see. More Wormy Jason.
More Wormy Jason, that's right. So, Nicole, we had part 5, which was A New Beginning. We just talked about that, of course. So now, Nicole, we're going to advance 1 year. We're going 1 year forward to 1986, Nicole.
Okay.
1986. And in part 5, there's this comment that the sheriff in that movie makes. And I guess it's the sheriff and, like, the mayor of the town or something. So, like, the mayor says something, because the sheriff suggests that the killer in part 5 is Jason Voorhees.
Right, yes.
But then the mayor is like, Jason Voorhees is dead! Like that.
Yeah.
And then he says, he makes a comment, I believe, that his body was cremated. And then the sheriff says something to the effect of, did you see the cremation happen? How do you know he was cremated, asshole mayor? So we have this notion in our minds from part 5 that perhaps Jason was cremated. But in part 6, Nicole, well,
we find out that's not true pretty early on.
Apparently, that was not the case. Because this movie, Nicole, is called Friday the 13th, part 6, Jason Lives. You wanted to do that in unison, Nicole. How adorable. So Jason Lives, we're led to believe that, you know, his ashes aren't going to be somehow reassembled. That, you know, his body is somehow still intact.
Well, it could be movie magic with cremation. Who
knows? I don't know, Nicole. Well, we'll tease that when we see him, he doesn't look very good.
he doesn't look very healthy.
Yeah. What were you going to say? I was just going to say,
there's always some jerk-off, you know, digging Jason up.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Quit digging up the graves,
We're going to get to that. So, Nicole, this movie is, like I said, from 1986. It was released August 1st of 1986. We just passed, like, some kind of an anniversary for this thing. Like, a 35th anniversary, I guess, of the movie, Nicole. Isn't that something?
Wow.
35 years old.
Yeah.
Anyway, the movie's rated R, Nicole. Do you remember how part 5, A New Beginning, which we just talked about in our last segment, that one, they had trouble with the MPAA. They had to, like, scale back, do a lot of cuts because it was going to be rated X. Well, for this one, Nicole, part 6, there's this talk, a little rumor, that perhaps they had to add more deaths to the movie to make sure that it got an R.
Really?
Because they were afraid, oh my God, like, are we going to get like a PG-13? We got to beef this thing up with some more violence, Nicole. Yeah.
Well, it's not that graphic.
No, this one is certainly more tame and much less sleazy than part 5, in my opinion.
Okay.
There's no nudity in this one,
Nicole. There is no nudity.
No nudity. One sex scene, no nudity. And it's kind of played for laughs, the sex scene, too.
Right.
Anyway, Nicole, we're going to get to that. We're jumping ahead here.
Yeah.
You're so excited.
You're jumping ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm going to calm myself down.
Okay.
So, this on IMDb, Nicole, is a horror film, Nicole. It runs 1 hour and 26 minutes. This is a short one, Nicole.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have this in my notes. It's certainly shorter than the last one. I don't know. Is this the shortest Friday the 13th in the series? I don't know. We'll have to talk about this at some point when I have more information. I didn't take a lot of notes for this one for some reason. So we're just going to have to, like, play it by ear here, Nicole. It's going to have to come from my memory.
It's all up here, Craig.
Uh-huh. Yes. Anyway, so the budget on this one, Nicole, is a little bit higher than the past two movies, but not much. $3 million. It's a $3 million budget. So it ends up making $19.5 million at the box office. So didn't do quite as well as Part 5. This is actually the first time, Nicole, that a Friday the 13th movie did not open at number one at the box office. And also did not earn $20 million at the box office, Nicole. So, and it just missed that, you know, by like 0.5. It missed it. But what is this saying, Nicole? Has the series, Nicole, taken a hit?
Is it going to run Is it in a decline?
Has it run its course? Is it in the decline? Is it in a downward spiral, Nicole? We're throwing as many cliches out there as we can. Nicole.
Seen its day?
This series, perhaps, yes, has seen its day, Nicole.
Should we put it out to pasture?
Oh my God, you're still coming with them. This is pretty good. Okay, well, Nicole. So, speculation is that perhaps there was some slight fan backlash from Part 5 because there was no Jason.
There was no
Jason. It's like a fake Jason in Part 5. So, speculation, you know, maybe there's some backlash, you know, due to Part 5. But, you know, also, yeah, maybe, you know, it's just getting a little tired at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, it still made a healthy profit, no question. You know, $3 million budget, bringing in $19.5 million at the box office. Paramount's still making a healthy profit. This is a highly profitable series of films for Paramount. So, maybe at the end of all the Friday the 13th episodes, we'll tally how much they spent on the movies and then how much they've earned on the movies. We'll get to that at some point, too.
Okay.
Anyway, Nicole, so this movie, it opened at number two in its opening weekend.
What beat it?
Taking in $6.7 million in its opening weekend. Nicole, in its third week of release, number one, hanging on at number one for 3 weeks, the sequel to Alien, which we've covered before in our 70s episodes. And this movie is called Aliens with an S.
Well, see, it's much better. Aliens is much better.
Than Friday the 13th Part 6. Well, yes, I guess that's arguable, Nicole. But it is a very good movie, yes. So Aliens, in its third week, making $7 million, just hanging on to number one and beating Jason Lives. Number three, Nicole, making $5 million. Howard the Duck, Nicole, which is kind of an infamous bomb from the 80s.
Yeah.
At number four, making $4 million. Not in its first week of release either, I don't believe. The Karate Kid Part 2, where Daniel LaRusso goes to Okinawa. And then number five, Nicole, a movie called Heartburn, which I don't recall at all, making $3.5 million. Do you remember Heartburn, Nicole?
No, not at all.
Not since the last time you ate some pasta or something, maybe. But anyway, so, okay, the director and the writer of this movie, Nicole, is Tom McLaughlin. Tom McLaughlin, in the past, did a little low-budget horror film called One Dark Night in 1982, Nicole. Other than that, not really a whole lot of horror stuff to his credit. He did a Stephen King adaptation of a story, I believe, from the Night Shift collection of Stephen King stories called Sometimes They Come Back, which was a TV movie in 1991. I remember it being on CBS primetime, Nicole.
Wow.
So maybe my memory's right, maybe it's wrong. Anyway, Sometimes They Come Back. And then, Nicole, he also directed a few episodes of Friday the 13th, the series. I believe also an episode of Freddy's Nightmares, the Nightmare on Elm Street goofy little television show that they had as well. And, yeah, he did a few other things as well. Tom McLaughlin originally, I believe, came up in, like, the leader of a troupe of mimes that were doing some sort of, like, mime theater shows.
Okay.
And apparently was kind of noticed by Dick Van Dyke, actually, and then hired by Dick Van Dyke to direct some episodes of a show that he had in the 70s. I believe it was called Van Dyke and Friends, which I think was some sort of like a variety show type of thing. Anyway, so Tom McLaughlin kind of got his start there from after the Mime Troupe thing, got his start involved in that Dick Van Dyke show, but not the Dick Van Dyke show, this other Dick Van Dyke show. Oh, whoa, we don't want to confuse anyone. Anyway, so Nicole, this movie, definitely the idea behind this from the producers, from the people at Paramount, God damn it, you idiots. Bring back Jason. That's the idea here.
Bring him back.
What the hell were you thinking with part five? We want Jason back to make us some more cash.
That's right.
So that was Tom McLaughlin's task here. Yeah. This is what he's tasked with, Nicole. Make sure you bring back Jason. The Frank Mancuso Jr., the producer, he's like, I don't care how the hell you do it. Get Jason back in this movie, damn it. So, Jason.
You think he cussed that much, you, Craig?
Yes, he absolutely did. So, what we have here, Nicole, is the first time in the series, Nicole. Prior to this, Jason, he was somewhat indestructible. Kind of a tough guy to bring down.
Right.
But he didn't seem, believe it or not, other than the whole thing with him drowning and coming back to life at the beginning
of
everything.
Yeah, he didn't seem, like, immortal.
Yes, didn't seem immortal. But here, Nicole, based on this opening sequence, he may very well be immortal.
He is now, yeah.
So what happens at the beginning, Nicole? What happens? You're talking about more douchebags digging up Jason, so get to it.
Yep, that's right. More guys digging up Jason. So it's Tommy Jarvis.
Tommy Jarvis is back, Nicole.
He's back.
But he's played by a different actor. This time, Tom Matthews.
Yeah.
Who is also from Return of the Living Dead. This episode, the last movie, Friday the 13th Part 5, Friday the 13th Part 6, there's a lot of carryover in actors from Return of the Living Dead. Huh. Tom Matthews played, what was his name in the movie? Oh. Freddy? I think it was Freddy. Anyway.
So, yeah, you got Tommy Jarvis, and you got his friend, I don't know his friend's name, Hawes?
Hawes, yeah.
Hawes, and they're, you know, Hawes says this is a bad idea. I mean, Tommy should have just listened to Hawes.
Hawes, what the hell is Hawes' name? I don't know what the actor's name is. I didn't write it down. But he was apparently in the show Welcome Back, Cotter, back in the day, which I've never really seen that show. It was never in syndication, and I'm not old enough to have seen it in the original run. Anyway, he was in Welcome Back, Cotter, okay. Hawes. Go ahead.
So they're digging up Jason again.
Again. And Tommy, he's got to know. He has to know
if Jason's in there or not.
Yeah, he has to know if the body's in there.
And he brought the hockey mask.
Yeah, he did. He has the hockey mask.
Yeah.
The original one with the red.
With the red.
And the slash in the top of it and everything.
Is the slash there in the beginning?
Maybe it isn't.
And I didn't see it.
Uh-oh. So continuity error, perhaps.
So I was really looking, and I'm like, it's not the right mask. It doesn't have the machete slash in the upper left corner.
Hmm.
And then later on, it did have it.
It had it later.
Yeah.
So at the beginning, maybe it doesn't.
I don't know.
But then later, maybe perhaps it does. All right. You know, listeners,
so this is a little.
We just watched the damn thing, so you're going to have to watch it and then tell us if that slash is there at the beginning.
I was looking for it, and I didn't think I saw it.
Okay, well,
so
he brings the hockey mask along.
He brings the hockey mask along.
He brings it along, and they're digging him up. So they dig him up, and they get him uncovered, and oh my God.
Yeah,
he's a maggoty, wormy mess.
He's desiccated.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
he looks
slimy.
Absolutely terrible.
Yeah, grossness.
Yeah, this is not. Jason is not looking good here. And so they open it up. Tommy has a moment where he freaks out.
He freaks out and he goes and grabs like a part of the fence.
Yeah,
the
like
steel,
a fence post railing thing.
Yeah, like a wrought iron.
Wrought iron is what it is,
post.
Nicole. Wrought iron. Rips it off of this fence, which I guess is kind of falling apart. Yeah. What does he do, Nicole?
He drives it through Jason's, like, chest.
Yeah, he keeps, but he does it more than once. Like,
right.
He has at him for a little bit with it. And Hawes, it's kind of funny because Hawes says,
he's like,
oh,
shit.
And yeah, he's like, oh, God. Because they're both, like, are, I guess, on, like, release or something from some sort of psychiatric facility.
Yeah,
he's like, they're going to send us back, you know, to the psychiatric facility.
Crap.
So, yeah, Hawes is a little worried about this whole excursion here to try to locate Jason and do something.
He doesn't have to worry long because he gets killed pretty fast.
What? We didn't even get to Jason coming back. How did
I'm just saying.
Come on. You ruined the whole damn thing, Nicole. So yes, Tommy's sticking him with the wrought iron, driving it into him. And then he's an idiot. Makes this mistake of leaving it driven in. Well, Nicole, there's a storm a-brewing.
That's right, and the lightning comes down and reanimates Jason.
This is total Dr. Frankenstein style right here.
Yeah.
And Tom McLaughlin, he said that he was a fan of classic Universal horror and gothic horror, so he's like, man, this would be a great way to bring Jason back, Frankenstein style.
I think I looked at you and rolled my eyes.
I don't know why, because this is fantastic.
I did. I remember looking at you and just
Jason,
going,
you see,
oh God.
His eye, you know, it opens and there's life in there.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a real eye.
The last movie, there was no life in his eyes is what the song was, because that wasn't Jason. Well, here, this is Jason. There's life in his eyes this time, Nicole. So anyway, he's resurrected here. He leaps out of the ground, the coffin, the pit of death, jumps out and
starts after Tommy.
He puts his hand.
Starts after Tommy first.
Oh, that's true. He does, Nicole. And then Hawes hits him over the back with a shovel that does no good.
Shatters the shovel handle.
And Jason's like, what? You know, who cares about that? I'm super Jason now.
Yeah, and he puts his fist right through Hawes' chest.
Grabs his heart.
Rips it out.
Rips that thing right out of there.
He doesn't do anything with it afterwards.
Nah, he doesn't eat it or anything.
Hold it up for everybody to see.
Yeah.
In jubilation.
Yeah, nothing like that. Nothing like Mola Ram in Temple of Doom, Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom, where it catches fire or something. Yeah. It's nothing like that here.
You know, that would have been really kind of nice.
Yeah, that would have been great.
An added touch.
But anyway, yes, so Hawes is, he's clearly dead. Hawes is dead.
Yes.
So, Jason, you know, because Tommy's a moron and brings the mask along, well, Jason, he just casually puts on the hockey mask and he's got like a spear now, basically, which is, I guess, from the wrought iron, Nicole.
Yeah.
And Tommy, he's out of there. He is getting out of there. But you know what? What we have now is Jason on the loose, Nicole. And what did you notice during the title sequence here? Because we cut to the title sequence, there's a super close-up of Jason's eye, and then in the pupil of Jason's eye, Nicole, you said...
Oh, it's so funny, because in the, like, it's so, like, James Bond.
Yes, it is a James Bond parody.
Like, he walks, and he turns all of a sudden,
yes.
And it's hilarious.
Jason appears in his own eye, the pupil of his own eye, walking, you know, like sideways, like James Bond would in all the James Bond intros, and then instead of turning and shooting with a gun, he takes a machete and slashes instead, and it's totally... A James Bond
parody. I feel like this is just, you know, some pretty heavy foreshadowing that this movie is a little more tongue-in-cheek.
It is. This movie is definitely a little bit more lighthearted in general. There's a lot of things that are played for laughs, played for comedy. It's definitely a lighter tone as far as that element goes.
Yeah, there's a lot of laughs.
Yes. A lot of laughs, Nicole. A lot of laughs. What we have here, like I said, is you got... Jason, who's been Dr. Frankenstein here at the beginning, Nicole, he's reanimated, a reanimated corpse. So, Tommy, at one point, he goes to the sheriff after this. He goes to the police station to warn the sheriff. Look, you know, like, Jason is out of his grave. Whoops, like, he's on the loose. And he's more powerful than ever before, Nicole.
Right.
And you know what, Nicole? This is kind of the beginning of the zombie Jason era. He was dead. He was legitimately dead. Tommy brings him back to life with the lightning bolt.
Yep. And you know what? If he'd have just left well enough alone, this whole thing wouldn't happen.
It never would have happened, Nicole.
That's right.
Never would have happened. So, suddenly, Nicole, we realize at the police station here that Crystal Lake is no longer Crystal Lake. It is now called Forest Green.
Because it's happier.
It's a happier sounding place than Crystal Lake, which has this horrible history of death and violence due to the Voorhees family, Nicole.
The murders.
The murders. Even camp, even like Crystal Lake, like
Camp
the
Blood.
Lake, the lake itself is now called Lake Forest Green. Yeah. So even that's not called Crystal Lake anymore. So
they're just trying to erase the whole history of
it. Oh God, yeah, they want to erase it all, Nicole. So at the office, the police station, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
The sheriff.
The office.
The office. The sheriff has a daughter played by Jennifer Cook. Her name is Megan, I think is how they always say it in the movie. Megan. Then we have Carrie Noonan playing Paula. We have Renee Jones playing Sissy. And Tom Fridley as Court. And these four are camp counselors, Nicole. They're reopening this camp at Lake Forest Green, which is, does the camp have a name? Is it just Camp Forest Green now, too?
Yeah, something.
I guess it must be. I don't know. I didn't really pay attention to that. Megan is instantly kind of, you know, ooh, she thinks Tommy's pretty cute, makes a comment like that. So there's some foreshadowing, too,
giving
that
Tommy the eye.
That they're going to, you know, like, they're going to hook up later, Nicole. The thing with this movie that's different, Nicole, is the camp setting here, the camp counselors and everything at the camp. Sure, there's been camp at the movies before. The camp situation has happened before in the movies. In part one, certainly they're setting up the camp. Part two, also, they're setting up a camp. Yeah. And then in part three, no. Part four, no. But five, at least you got the kids. It's not the camp. But here in part six, this is like the first time that there are actual children.
Campers, children.
Children coming to the camp. And there's only like four counselors because, Nicole, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, I was going to say senior counselors. There are two senior counselors.
Yeah, we're gonna get to that. But
they
before
don't
this,
have much
I wanna,
screen time, though.
It's not much screen time, Nicole. That's ruined now. Anyway, so the first time the kids appear here in a Friday the 13th movie, really, as potential victims, Nicole. But what I wanted to say to bring this to 2021 is that there's the Fear Street series of movies, which we watched, Nicole. Did we ever talk about the rest of the Fear Street movies?
No, I don't think so.
Anyway, we'll talk about that at the end. Anyway, Nicole, Fear Street, the second Fear Street movie, 1978, Fear Street 1978 on Netflix, Nicole, that camp in that movie is the same camp from Friday the 13th. Part six, Nicole.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, listeners. Can you believe it? Anyway, so, yes, let's talk about those senior counselors, Nicole.
Okay.
Lisbeth and I don't remember the guy's name. What was his name, Nicole?
They were driving along. And Lisbeth, you know, had it pretty right. She's like, I think we need to turn around right now.
Why, though?
Because up ahead, there was a person in a mask.
Yeah,
and she said, I've seen enough movies to know in the dark when you see a person wearing a mask, you should just turn around.
Yeah, you got to turn around and you got to get out of there, Nicole.
That's right.
Well, Tony Goldwyn is the actor riding with her in the car, playing the character Darren. Tony Goldwyn is known for Ghost and doing a lot of other movies after this. This is kind of the beginning of his career. Nancy McLaughlin actually plays Lisbeth. She is the wife of writer-director Tom McLaughlin, who did this movie.
Anyway,
Nicole. So, of course, they have this whole situation where they're facing off with Jason, try to play chicken with him, run him off the road. Jason just stands there. He doesn't care.
Yeah,
Nicole.
He doesn't move.
So Darren tries to go after him. That doesn't work. He tries to shoot him.
Like, he gets a gun. He has this gun, but he walks too close to him.
Yeah.
Like, why are you going so close to Jason?
He doesn't actually want to shoot him. He just wants to threaten him.
I guess.
But they already tried to run him over with a car, and that didn't work. So, yeah, he's eliminated. Now you have Lisbeth, who's sitting in the car. And here's an interesting scene, Nicole, because I told you this when we were watching it, that this is a stunt that almost went awry, because apparently there wasn't a stunt person in the car. It was her in the car.
Okay.
So
the director's wife.
Yes, in the car.
So, like, imagine if she was really hurt.
She could have been killed right then and there.
Yeah.
But Jason, who's actually in this movie, Nicole, played by C.J. Graham for the majority of the movie. We're going to get to why I'm saying the majority of the movie in just a bit. But He has this spear thing that he's been hanging on to.
Part of the fence.
Part of the fence, the wrought iron, Nicole. And he drives it through. First, he drove it through, like, the tire, the front tire, to, like, kind of, ruin their fun time as well. But then he tries to stick her right through the windshield. Well, there's a stunt scene, where Jason is putting the spear through the wrought iron, through the windshield, the glass windshield, and you can see this spear changing trajectory. It's supposed to go toward the driver's seat, and then Nancy, the actor, kind of dives out of the way toward the passenger seat. Well, as it hits the glass, the spear angles then toward the passenger seat.
Yeah, it does.
So apparently it just missed her by a little bit. She was fine. But yikes, Nicole.
Yikes.
You got to be careful when you're making these movies.
Yeah.
So she wasn't killed. Everything's fine. And Tony Goldwyn went on to bigger things, I suppose. But anyway, Nicole.
So she crawls out of the car,
mm-hmm.
and she ends up in, like, this gully.
Like a puddle,
puddle of water. But basically, she can, like, totally fit, like, almost her whole body in this puddle of water.
Yeah.
And, like, she looks up, and there he is.
What's the funny thing? Yes, what's the funny thing about this? She offers him money. She's trying to offer him money. And I think it's kind of, it's
and
cute.
And her American Express card.
And American Express card, yeah. And it's kind of cute because, like, I don't know that anyone's tried that before in a movie, in a Friday the 13th movie.
Hey,
like, just give him some money and like,
I think
it
was leave. Like, it was like 40 bucks for his AMX card. I mean,
40 bucks.
So,
come on, man. He can do some good with that. So, yeah, anyway. It's kind of funny, Nicole. So, sort of.
Well,
funny.
And then she kind of looks up and he's gone.
Yes.
And then she kind of, like, is almost relieved.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Yeah, well, it doesn't last, Nicole. The relief does not last.
No.
So, Nicole, there's more to come here. We have this sequence, another kind of comedy sequence here, involving a paintball kind of... What do you call it? Like a paintball...
It's like a team building...
Team building paintball...
Paintball...
Excursion situation here. Yeah. In this sequence, Nicole, Jason is played by a different actor. And my God, I can't remember his name, but he's a different actor, Nicole, for this sequence. And apparently, after seeing the dailies, they call them, like what was shot for footage on that certain day or whatever, the studio execs, they decided, we don't like this Jason. Because they thought he was too chubby, Nicole. This Jason was too chubby in the paintball sequence. So they ended up switching to C.J. Graham, who is the one who did the majority of the movie.
Though. Okay.
Anyway, but this whole paintball sequence...
he looked pretty muscular.
You thought he looked all right here?
I don't know when I looked, but when I looked at him, I'm like, oh, he looks pretty muscular.
Looks pretty muscular.
For, being a dead dude.
Yeah, for being a dead dude. That's right. So we actually here, we have some actors who Tom McLaughlin worked with on his like mime troupe, actually.
Okay.
So some of these paintball actors, I don't know if it's all of them, but it's certainly a few of them, he had worked with before in his mime troupe. So he invited them to come in and do this sequence. So we do have some fun here, Nicole, with Jason and the paintballers. The paintballers are upset because their two of them get shot by the woman paintballer in the group. Mm-hmm. And of course they're all upset because the woman got them. This is 1986.
Yeah, and they didn't even want to invite her.
Yeah, they didn't even want to bring her along. And there's another guy who she had shot earlier who at one point screaming about how she should have stayed in the kitchen or something like that, because she shot him and he was dead. So when they're dead,
because she was better than him.
She was better, exactly. Like you would be, Nicole, if you were doing the shooting.
I like paintball.
Yes. So Nicole, they have to wear these headbands when they've been shot. And what do the headbands say, Nicole?
Dead.
Yeah. So we can see this joke coming, right?
Yes.
They put on the dead headbands. And the guy who's upset and says that she should have stayed in the kitchen, he's hacking away in the forest with a machete.
With a machete.
And
now,
here we go.
Come on. Like, why do you need to bring a machete?
So Jason comes out of nowhere, grabs him by the arm, flings him into a tree. He's impaled on like a broken tree limb and then kind of slides off to the side. And what had been carved into the tree was this smiley face.
Yes.
But now it's a bloody smiley face because there's a blood splatter on it. And it's kind of amusing
and
as well,
Nicole. And then Jason, he lifts up the machete and it still has the guy's
Still has the guy's arm attached to it. Yes, because he had torn his arm off as well. Yes. So then, of course, we have the triple decapitation, Nicole, of the woman and the two guys who were complaining. Yes, Jason decapitates them all at once.
One swing, done.
Three heads are gone, Nicole. And then there's one paintballer remaining. His name was Roy, I believe, the character.
Yeah, and he was just kind of a mess.
Yeah, he was having some problems.
A bumbling mess.
Yeah. So
he lost his paintball gun.
Yeah, he lost it at one point. Then he finds it. And then he shoots Jason in the chest with it. And it's also, this is kind of cute too, because Jason takes a second and looks down at his chest. And then immediately proceeds to chop Roy to pieces.
That's
right.
So Roy got the chop.
He got the chop as well, Nicole. Tommy is basically, we kind of cut back and forth here a lot. Tommy is being escorted to the edge of town. This is what they finally decide, the sheriff, that we're going to escort him to the edge of town. And you know what? Tommy, don't you ever come back here. Well, they do this twice. Because one time, like, he races off the road and goes to the cemetery to try to prove to them that, look, I dug him up. Look, you should look. But the caretaker had already filled it back in and made it look perfect. So nobody believes him.
That's right. And the caretaker, he's kind of a character.
Yes.
He's like a old drunkard.
He is.
And, you know, he didn't want to get in trouble.
No.
So he just filled it back in and he didn't tell anybody. But yeah, Hawes is in there.
Hawes is, his body is the one that's in there.
And he said, oh, they didn't even put him back in there, right? And he didn't realize it wasn't
Jason,
you know. But he's like, I'm not touching that slimy, you know.
So and so.
And he just fills it back in.
Yes.
And makes it all good.
And of course, later, the caretaker, he likes the drink a little bit. So, a night scene later, he's kind of wandering through the forest.
You know, singing.
He's
singing,
happy. Having a good time. He just got off work, walking through the forest. Gets off the road somehow. Not that that would have mattered. But Jason kind of comes out of nowhere. The guy, he finishes off the bottle of booze that he was drinking.
Yeah.
And he's going to litter, Nicole. He's going to toss
gonna
it behind
litter.
Him. Litter. Jason, however, he doesn't, the caretaker, he doesn't hear the bottle smash or crash.
Right, he like the thunk of a glass bottle.
And you know, why is it, Nicole?
Jason caught it.
He caught it, and we turn around, we see Jason holding the bottle. And Nicole, what we're being told here is that Jason does not appreciate littering
territory.
Don't
litter, Jason will get you.
Exactly.
So Jason smashes the bottle with his fist.
Yeah.
He just squeezes it and then plunges it into, like, you know.
Yeah, his throat or something. He's dead. The caretaker's dead. But I get a kick out of that sequence too because, you know,
don't you litter.
And then Jason, I just like how he just stands there staring at him.
You know, that should be the new.
Smashes the bottle in his hand. And,
that should be the new, like, t-shirt design.
Yes.
No littering.
No littering. Jason Voorhees will mess you up with a broken bottle. Yeah. Anyway. So, yes, Nicole. We then have the sex scene that we were talking about before with no nudity, Nicole. This is also cute because it's an RV. There's a big RV.
It's
very cute. There's an RV here. And it's kind of bouncing a little bit. We see it bouncing.
You know what's happening.
We know what's happening. We see Jason approach, and he kind of gives this little head tilt, like, huh? Yeah, like, what? What is going on? What's going on there?
Like a puppy.
Yes, exactly. A puppy head tilt. Michael Myers does those, too, in the Halloween movies. Anyway, so Jason, he's got a little head tilt here. But there's no nudity, like we said, Nicole. The interesting thing here is that this is Court, who we mentioned earlier many, many words ago, because we've done a lot of talking. Tom Fridley playing Court. And Tom Fridley, apparently, Nicole, is the nephew of John Travolta. And, you know, maybe you can see it a little bit. He definitely looks like an Italian fellow. But anyway, yeah. So Tom Fridley here. Should I start talking in a terrible Italian accent?
No, please.
All right, I'll save that for another Italian episode. So anyway, yes, he in this scene is, well, having sex with the actor, Darcy DeMoss, who plays the character Nikki here.
But they're dancing to the music while having the
sex.
She's
kind of dancing to the music, exactly. The interesting thing about Darcy DeMoss, Nicole, now here's a little side story for everybody. So Darcy DeMoss actually auditioned for the role of Tina in Friday the 13th, A New Beginning. Who was the one who was doing this super sex scene in that one, Nicole? So she auditions for the part. In the audition, the director, Danny Steinman from Part 5, asks her to show him the goods. Let me see the goods in the audition. And she's like, wait a second, you know, like, I'm fine with doing nudity, but you're going to have to talk to my agent because, you know, like, we didn't agree to anything like this. So Danny Steinman then, he's like, you know, you're not going to show me your boobs. Well, forget it. So she was actually hired for the part, but then was asked to leave. She was kicked off the movie, but apparently she still got paid, so good for her.
Good for her.
But they ended up bringing in Debbie Sue Voorhees to play that character Tina in Friday the 13th, Part 5, A New Beginning. Anyway, she actually returns here in Part 6 somehow. Maybe she's still under contract.
I don't know. Like, they're like, we paid you for this.
We paid you, so you're going to do this one too. Yeah,
you got to do this.
Yeah.
Now.
And apparently Tom McLaughlin, during the shoot, was kind of like, oh, man, you know, like, we don't have any nudity in this thing. You know, it seems like it's a staple for Friday the 13th movies to have nudity. And he actually asked Darcy DeMoss, hey, you know, are you comfortable doing nudity? And again, she was like, hey, look, you know, like, I'm fine with nudity, but you got to talk to my agent because we didn't agree to this. So McLaughlin, he was just kind of like, eh, you know, forget it. It's too much trouble, so I'm not going to worry about it. We're just going to keep going. So, yeah, but kind of interesting that...
I wonder how much nudity actually happens in movies that, you know, the people just don't, like, say, well, you got to talk to my agent.
Yeah.
Because, like, you get paid more.
Yeah.
If you got to take it
off. Yeah, you might get, like, you know, a bigger percentage or whatever, you know,
Yeah. Because
anyway.
Well, good for her for, like, sticking up for herself, you know, because if you're going to have to do that, you might as well get paid more.
Exactly, Darcy. Good job. So... Darcy, well, Court is his name. Tom Fridley plays Court. Well, you know,
he's
the power goes off.
He's not very smart.
Well,
he's
yeah. So anyway, they're basically like the power goes out, and you know, like, well, we got to check and see what happened. Well, the cord is all frayed where it was plugged in. The RV was plugged in. So the cord's frayed, and they're like, oh, you know, we better get the hell out of here. Well, Nicole, they made the mistake of abandoning the door. So, like, well, someone got into the RV. So they're like, all right, let's get out of here. We're going to drive away. So they start driving away. And Court turns up some Alice Cooper on the radio here, the stereo. And that's a little tie-in.
Yeah.
Alice Cooper does... Well, at least there are three Alice Cooper songs in the movie, Nicole. One that plays during the end credits, written specifically for the movie. They asked Alice Cooper, hey, how do you feel about doing a song for Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives? And Alice Cooper's like, hell yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, that's pretty cool that Alice Cooper's in the movie. There are pictures out there of Jason kind of like choking Alice Cooper. I'll post that on social media if I remember during this whole, you know, promo period for this episode. Court, listening to Alice Cooper, kind of driving pretty quickly here. And
recklessly.
Yeah. And Nikki's bouncing all over the RV, like flipping and flopping all over the place. Finally, she gets near the bathroom door and, well...
Somebody grabs
her. Nicole got legitimately scared. There was a legitimate jump scare and she said, I knew he was in there. But she got a little jump scare. Anyway, I'm just teasing Nicole. So, Jason smashes Nikki's face through, like, the wall.
Yeah, and it's like, you see an outline of her face
getting indented into the wall. Yeah, so it's a pretty kind of, like, gruesome death if you think about it. Well, then, of course, Court's just up there bouncing around, listening to music, driving too fast, having a good time. Jason has this brand new... Rambo-style hunting knife, survival knife,
I'm like,
Nicole.
Where'd he get that setup? He has a sheath, and he, like, takes it out, and
Where did he get that?
Yeah, where did he get
You think he got it from one of those paintballers?
Maybe. He took it off them.
I bet it was a paintballer. He sticks Court right in the head, and the RV flips over. Jason gets out of the thing, and he's totally fine.
Well, he stands on top of it like a champion. The burning RV.
It's a pretty cool image.
That's what it looks like. I thought so, too.
We haven't been to the camp for a long time here. Megan Nicole kind of going around the back of her dad, and the deputy ends up freeing Tommy. They're busted loose. They're on the loose, running around. Tommy has found these books on occultism and dead people and what have you. And Tommy's educated himself. Somehow he's decided that Jason has to be taken back to his original resting place, and that's where he can finally be done away with Nicole. So Megan agrees to help him out, drives him around, and they're racing around trying to escape from the cops. There's a couple of scenes where Tommy has his like head down, duck down in her lap, and it gets a little like there's some like sexual innuendo kind of naughty stuff going on here, Nicole, and our innocent sensibilities are shattered here. We're all messed up after seeing this movie because of that, Nicole. So finally, we get back to the camp, and Jason is lurking around, Nicole. The police are lurking around trying to make sure the kids are okay. Well, people are starting to get knocked off, Nicole. They found that Court had been killed with his girlfriend, Nikki, and then we've got Sissy back at the camp who gets her head chopped off somehow. Paula, we don't really know what happens to her.
Sissy got her head twisted off.
Twisted off. Okay, yeah. That's what happened. Paula, we don't really see what happens to her. She gets, like, thrown out of a window and then, like, yanked back in. But the cabin she was in is just, like, a bloody massacre mess. Yeah. Megan ends up seeing this and gets kind of freaked out about everything. Well, Tommy, Megan, the kids are here, Nicole. They gotta protect the kids. The police that are there, one of them is Officer Pappas, played by Michael Swan, Nicole. And in my youth, Nicole, I know Michael Swan from the daytime soap opera. Well, I don't know if it still exists. All the soap operas are dead, aren't they? Almost. As the World Turns, Nicole, he played the character Duncan McKechnie.
I thought so.
Which
actually,
I always liked the name Duncan McKechnie.
I always liked the name Duncan McKechnie.
So I always remember Michael Swan from that. But yeah, he's also here in Friday the 13th Part 6. And at one point, he's kind of like fixing his hair in the side of the mirror of the police car. And one of the other policemen is like, come on, handsome. And it's a cute little moment, too. But yeah, Officer Pappas, Duncan McKechnie, gets his head crushed by Jason, and we don't see it, but we see the aftermath, and he's laying on the ground, and he's got some like green stuff coming out of his nose, and you're like, what's that green stuff? And I said, snot? What else could it be, Nicole?
Well,
boogers.
Snot's not usually green.
Well, his is
an infection.
I bet he had a sinus infection, Nicole. So anyway, yeah, the police officers, they're dead. The other one gets killed too somehow, I can't remember, but they're both dead. So
pretty much everybody's dead.
Almost
by
everybody's
now.
Dead. But Jason, the kids, at one point, he's in the cabin with the young girls.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one girl who gets kind of signaled out as kind of this like scaredy cat girl that keeps like getting scared by things.
No, she's never asleep.
She never
sleeps. She's always waking up
yeah.
and staring at Jason in the face.
So she sees Jason in the cabin, yes, stares at him in the face. And prior to Paula's death, she told her, just say a little prayer and, you know, you'll be fine and the bad stuff will go away. She tries this.
Yeah, she's saying the Lord's prayer.
And Jason's like leaning down toward her, leaning down, and we see him, it cuts back and forth, leaning down toward her, and then this is when the police pull up, actually, originally, and kind of, like, you know, startle him.
They hear
and
then, car doors, and then
he ends up leaving, but, you know, like, do you think Jason would have hurt this girl?
I don't know. They didn't do it.
He didn't end up hurting
any of the
youngsters.
They didn't cross the line.
They didn't cross the line into killing the children, Nicole.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, that's probably a good thing. We now have Tommy basically, you know, getting this whole setup going here with the sending Jason back to his original resting place. Jason in this movie gets shot quite a bit. This is the first time I think that Jason in the Friday the 13th series actually gets shot.
Yeah.
But
in the chest several times.
Because he's now reanimated Frankenstein monster zombie Jason, it doesn't do anything to him. No effect, Nicole.
Nothing.
The police officer, Sheriff Garris, who is Megan's father, who's played by the character, played by the actor David Kagan, who actually, Nicole, was Jennifer Cook's like acting coach at one point, who plays Megan. So here they are, father and daughter in the movie, but in reality, at one point, it was like acting coach and acting student, Nicole. Isn't that something? You don't care. Anyway, Nicole, so here, the sheriff, Sheriff Garris, gets caught in this backbreaker maneuver where Jason, like, snaps him over backwards, like snapping his back.
It's so fast, but they should have played this up a little more because he's the dad, he's the sheriff, you know. He has a lot of screen time, but his death is actually really fast.
Pretty quick. And apparently they did cut a little bit out of that sequence because I think they thought it was too much or something, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so basically they just folds him in half backwards.
Folds him in half backwards and he's snaps dead. Him and he's dead. Yeah. Well, I mean, that would probably kill me too, Nicole. But anyway, so we've got Megan trying to protect the kids, trying to watch out for Tommy at the same time. Tommy's got this whole scheme in Lake Forest Green, and Jason trying to lure him away from Megan and the kids into the water. So he lures him into the boat. Tommy's out in a little boat, a little canoe.
Yeah, I don't know. It looked like a rowboat to me.
Rowboat, some kind of rowboat. Something. Tommy's in the rowboat. So Tommy's in the rowboat, and he sets up a ring of fire, Nicole, around the rowboat in Lake Forest Green, Crystal Lake, everyone. So he's in the boat. He's got a chain with a boulder attached to it. And his idea is he's going to loop this around Jason and drown him in the bottom of Crystal Lake.
That's right.
Again.
Just drag him down.
So he's got to fight him first, though. He's fighting him off. They're fighting in the water, fighting in the boat. Jason finally, like Jaws at one point, leaps out of the water, snaps the boat in half, bringing Tommy into the water with him. Yes. And then they're fighting in the water, and Tommy, it looks like Tommy is drowned, Nicole.
It does look like Tommy's out of breath underneath the water.
Jason has the chain around his neck with the boulder. He's at the bottom of the lake. Some thunder in the background, even though it's like bright sun outside. So Megan uses the motor on the boat then to kind of drive it into Jason's head and tries to like kind of cut his throat, kill him that way.
And I'm like, that trolling motor's not gonna cut his throat like that.
Do you want to try it? You want to get in the water and try it? No, I don't think
I guess I don't want to, but yes, I know motors can kill you and stuff like that, but
Nicole's not all about water safety, apparently.
I'm like saying it's not going to kill Jason. Oh. He's immortal. Why is a motorboat's motor going to kill
him?
These
characters are dumb. They don't know that, Nicole. He ends up, at one point it looks like maybe it's like supposed to have snapped his neck or something. I don't know. His mask is still there and he's dead at the bottom of the lake now, chained up to this boulder, apparently. Megan then has to resuscitate Tommy on the lake shore, and all the kids cheer, and everyone's happy, Nicole.
That's
except
right.
for everybody, because everyone else is dead. So, like, Megan's father's dead, and, like, everybody's dead. All her friends are dead, everybody's dead. But Tommy and Megan are still alive, and the kids are still alive. So, you
it's
know,
it's a
Nicole,
celebration.
There's a big celebration here. That is what is really, truly important here in Friday the 13th, Part 6, Nicole. They've survived.
They're winners.
Jason is at the bottom of the lake. And the series is finally over. Until we get a little tease at the end of the movie. We see a close-up of Jason's eye again. And Jason, Nicole,
lives.
He lives. He still lives, yes. Because he's now an immortal zombie.
Right.
So he can't be killed, Nicole. Thanks to Tommy. Way to go, Tommy Jarvis.
Way to go.
All right, Nicole. Friday the 13th, Part 6. Jason lives, Nicole. What do you think of this one? Is this an amass or is it a murder?
Well, I am going to say, I know you told me that this one is very popular.
This is typically a fan favorite in the series, okay. Nicole. I will say that.
I'm going to say that I enjoyed watching it. I thought it was funny. but I don't really need to see it anymore. So I'm going to kill it. I'm going to murder it.
You're going to murder this one? Mm-hmm. You kept the sleazy new beginning.
I did.
You said that one. You got to keep it because you may as well keep it for the whole collection. But this is the one from the collection you're going to throw out. I guess you need it for the collection. This one, though, you're throwing it away.
You know, I think my collection's big enough.
I see. Well, we'll see what happens when you get to the further sequels, Nicole, when you compare those to this
one. I said I had a good time. Anyway, I just don't know that I need to watch it again.
And that's fine. You'll never have to see it again, although I'm sure you'll probably see it again at some point when I'm watching it. But, Nicole, Friday the 13th, Part 6, I'm going to amass it. I'm sometimes hard on this one because I'm a jaded old man, a real asshole jerk. So sometimes when something's popular, I'm like, ugh, I don't like that one. Well, sometimes that gets into my head a little bit with this one.
You're an elitist.
I'm an elitist, yeah. But then this time when I watched it, you know, I had a good time. I really did have a good time watching it this time. Maybe I was just in the right mood. It is heavy on the goofy stuff. There's a little bit of maybe too much comedy stuff going on. But I still think it's fun. This is a fun time, Nicole. It's a fun Friday the 13th movie.
It's fun.
Probably the goofiest one in the series, Nicole. This one, it's a keeper for me. It is a fan favorite. And if you're in the right mood, maybe you'll have a good time with it. Maybe you will. I don't know if you noticed this, Nicole, but in the movie, there are a couple of little references to other horror things, Nicole.
What?
So, Tom McLaughlin, apparently, I don't know if he still is. Maybe they had a falling out. I don't know. Friends with horror director Mick Garris. So, the sheriff in this movie is Sheriff Garris, named after his friend Mick Garris. Also, Nicole, there's a reference to Cunningham Road, which is a reference to original Friday the 13th creator, Sean Cunningham. Nicole, there's also a neighboring town called Carpenter, which is obviously a little reference to director John Carpenter. Also, Tommy at one point is speaking on the telephone at a phone booth. Remember those, Nicole? Phone booths?
Phone booths.
A phone booth outside of a little general merchandise, mercantile general store.
Yeah.
And the store's name is Karloff's.
Karloff's.
Nicole, like Boris Karloff, who was the Frankenstein monster, Nicole?
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, apparently you don't care about any of those references, but perhaps some of the listeners might think that they're fun, Nicole. With that lack of interest from Nicole, we're going to wrap up this segment on Friday the 13th. However, listeners, this may not be the end.
This is not
of Friday
the end.
The 13th.
Jason lives.
Jason lives, Nicole. Nicole, it's time to close out the fourth episode in our Friday the 13th series of episodes, Nicole.
When is the next Friday the 13th?
I don't know, Nicole. I haven't looked ahead to it yet. Actually, I did at one point, but I can't remember. It's not for a while. You got a little bit of a reprieve again here. You won't have to bother with one for a little bit. But, Nicole, I want to make a little mention here. There's a, and you're going to be bored to death by this, so just tune out. So, there's an old game, a video game for the Nintendo Entertainment System called Friday the 13th. that usually people just shit all over it. It's not really a bad game if you have the instruction manual and you take the time to learn how to play it. Uh-huh. That's the problem with modern gamers who try to go back and play old games, is they don't know about reading manuals or things like that. I'm trying to stick up for poor Friday the 13th here. Anyway, my brother Brian would as well. He would stick up for it too, because you know what? We worked at learning how to play it. Because when you were a kid, you didn't have 9,000 games to play. You had a few. And the games that you had to actually learn to play them. Well, that's what we did. So listeners, I don't want to hear it. Get out there and learn how to play it. Anyway, so that game is from this era. Because in that game, it's in the era of Jason Lives, sure. The movie Part 6. So in that game, there are children in cabins that you have to rescue. There are counselors and things like that as well, of course. But it definitely is from this era. You just get that feel from it, okay. Nicole. Yes. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. Maybe we'll do a video game episode at some point where I'll have, like, my brother and I will cover some games or something, because you're not going to want to be involved in that. Anyway.
Isn't there a board game, too?
A board game.
Don't we have a board game?
Yeah, but they're, like, just, like, trivia games, I think, right? I don't think we have, like,
I don't know. I thought there was an actual, like, game.
I don't know. Maybe my brain is malfunctioning, but I don't think so. There is a more modern Friday the 13th video game as well that's on, like, all the modern consoles and things, too. So you can get that one, too. It's okay. But anyway, on to other things, Nicole. Fear Street. Let's talk about that for a second. Sure. Because, you know, during Part 6, we were talking about that. Fear Street, we talked about the first one. We had a pretty good time with that. But yeah.
Did we talk about the second one?
I don't think we talked about the second and the third one. So, Nicole, if we did, we're doing it again. So, the second one and the third one, how'd you feel about the follow-ups? The follow-up movies, not episodes. The follow-up movies in the series.
I really liked the whole series.
You enjoyed the whole series.
I was anxious to see the other movies.
You sure were, because you made me watch both of the other ones, like, I think
back to back.
Back to back, yeah. Like, soon after we watched the first one, Nicole. Yeah.
I thought it was really nice. I liked the trilogy that close together.
It was nice.
Did you like I liked the continuation of the story.
I thought it did a pretty good job of tying together, despite kind of this, like, and, you know, they tried to come up with a different way. You know, they were trying to be creative about it, because they end up going back in time in the story. You know, we start with, what, 94, then we go to 78, and then we go to 1666.
Yeah.
So we're going back in time in the sequence of movies, but they still managed to work out a few surprises, because in the second movie, how it ends, the character that you think it's going to end with, it, like, there's a little bit of a twist there, Nicole.
Yeah, I liked the twists and turns, and it doesn't end the way you think it's going to.
Yeah, I think that the going back in time situation, you feel like everything's going to be really obvious. And, you know, they're still not super surprising, but there are some elements that that do work pretty well, I think. So, overall, I had a fun time with it. I thought the series was worth a watch, certainly for fans of horror films, Nicole. Certainly should seek out the series on Netflix and watch it. It's worth your time. If you want to save it for the Halloween season has already begun, by the way, but you can certainly watch them for that, because it's definitely a good time, Nicole. Something That's worth right. checking out. Something else that we watched on Netflix as well, Nicole. A Netflix movie, Nicole, that we watched. And this one was called Blood Red Sky, Nicole. And this one, Nicole has no memory of it. She just blanked. So Blood Red Sky.
Oh, is it on the airplane?
Yes, it's on an airplane. So this one was a movie that was on Netflix, and you showed it to me like, is this one that you're going to want to watch? Because the last time you got in trouble.
That's right.
On the episode that we were recording that time, I don't remember when it was. I think it was back in May. So the movie Army of the Dead, I think is what it was called. Is that what it was? Was that it? Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, Army of the Dead was directed by Zack Snyder and starred Batista, a WWE wrestler, Batista, who is not really a wrestler anymore. Now he acts. But yes, he's in the movie, Nicole. And you watched it without me, on the first day it came out. And I was like, well, you know, like, I may have wanted to watch that with you. I gave you a hard time. But now I have no regrets. I'm just kind of like, yeah, whatever. I'm never going to watch that thing. So anyway, you were this time worried about Blood Red Sky. So you asked in advance. We ended up watching it, Nicole. And
I should have watched it on my own.
I should have let you watch that one on your own, too. It's very... barely okay. Like, yeah, I don't know. I didn't really care much about it. As it was proceeding through the movie, I was like, boy, I'm really like done with this. I don't really need to see it anymore. Multiple times. I made the joke about the vampire, like the main vampire in the movie, looking like, and I guess, you know, supposed to have this kind of like Nosferatu look to it.
Sure.
But the vampire in the movie, to me, like the first thing I thought of was the old, I think it's the Weekly World News from back in the day, had a cover story one time about a bat boy.
A bat boy, yeah.
And yes, the bat boy is what I showed you the picture of. This is what the vampire looks like in this movie, Nicole. Bat boy. So I showed you the picture of bat boy. And if you're not familiar with bat boy from Weekly World News, go look it up. Do a little Google search, everybody. Look up the bat boy. And that is the vampire from Blood Red Sky, yeah. Nicole. Yeah.
I didn't think it was crazy bad. You've made me watch much worse.
Oh, of course. I mean, we've seen worse, but we've also seen, like, worse movies that are a lot more fun than this.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is just kind of like, this is so mediocre that it's just bland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, you agree with that.
It does seem like it had all been done before.
Yep. We've seen this stuff before, Nicole. Yeah. Anyway... it is what it is. We did our time with it, and now it's over. Well, Nicole's going to try to rush out of here, but there are a few other things I want to talk about. She wants to watch the new Suicide Squad as soon as she can.
You want to watch it, too.
I do want to see it, too, but as I'm thinking about it more, I'm like, I'm going to hate this, too. So I'm mostly going to hate how long it is, I bet. But anyway, hopefully Suicide Squad will be fun. We'll see. It just came out a few days ago at the time of this recording. On HBO Max, Nicole. So we can watch it from the comfort of our home. We don't have to go see it in the theater. That's going to be great. Anyway, so we're going to watch Suicide Squad. We might remember to report back about that. Who knows? We'll see how it is. Batista is not in it, Nicole. So anyway, when we were talking about our friends Bobby and Emily, Bobby was trying to convince me that we need to do an episode, a specific episode. And I think Bobby talked me into it. And Emily was like on board with this too. Because it'll be like a lot of fun and, you know, like some really bad movies that we're going to have to watch. So I don't want to spoil what it is. But Bobby knows. And Emily knows. So that episode's coming. It's not coming probably still this year. We'll see. It might be more like a next year. Beginning of next year thing, we'll see. Because we kind of have the rest of this year mapped out, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Maybe it'll fall in somewhere. The rest of this year, Nicole, we like to tease a little bit. We like to tease the listeners a little bit here. So this fall, we had originally intended to do a couple of Dungeon of Director episodes.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to have to change it. We're going to have to do one. I think we'll do one Dungeon of Directors episode. We're going to save the other one. We'll push the other one back. That one will be delayed until next year at some point, too. But we're still going to do one Dungeon of Directors episode, whichever one Nicole chooses, and then the other one is going to get pushed back. So you, the listeners, you're going to know by which one she chooses. Which one she wanted to put off for another time. And I'm guessing already. I know which one it's going to be.
Oh, you do.
But I think we're going to have to throw in a little quickie episode here. We're going to throw in like a quickie one that'll be kind of a fast one. Because the Dungeon of Directors, like, it takes a little bit more time to prepare for those. So based on our time constraints, we might have to just kind of toss in a quick one. Yeah, you know, at least you'll get a break and the episode won't be that long, listeners. That'll be good, right? So, gear up for that. A quickie a dungeon of directors. Then we have our second anniversary episode up toward the end of September. And that one, I think we're going to do some kind of trash movies too. So, yeah, maybe, Bobby, in the meantime, while you're waiting for this other episode that you want, well, maybe this one will kind of help in the meantime. We'll see. Anyway, then in October, Nicole, we have, of course, the 17th annual A to Z of Horror Festival. Now, we've already spoiled one movie that's going to be in the festival. And we're not going to say it again, because we already said it in one episode. If you don't remember what it is, or you didn't listen to that episode, well, then you're just going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait until October, until it comes up. The 17th Annual A to Z of Horror Festival, I'm excited about that, because I've gotten it all, like, mapped out, Nicole. I was actually a little slower than I am sometimes.
You usually have it all done
about
way before.
Adding it, you know, adding things to the list. Like, I, you know, added a few things here and there. But then really, like, when it hit, like, maybe, like, the end of June or early July, I was kind of like, I got into, like, a little bit of a panic, Nicole. I was kind of like, oh, my God, you know, I got
to. Yeah, we don't have plenty of time.
I got to finish this up, because I don't want to accidentally watch something that I want to have for the festival. I'm saving for the festival.
Oh, okay.
So you got to, like, you got to put those things into their slots. You got to slot them into those letters,
that's
Nicole.
Right.
So this year, I think, you know, like last year, we had a lot of A to Z of Horror episodes. I think we're going to try to downsize it to three. We're going to try to keep it back to three again.
Okay.
And we're going to try to keep them shorter. I was thinking of sort of implementing a time limit for talking about each movie.
Okay.
And it hasn't been determined what the time limit is yet. But I think it might be kind of fun to put the Common Craig on a time crunch talking about some of these episodes.
Like, we can only have, like, 5 to 7 minutes?
You can only have, like, 10 minutes or something. 5 to 7, Nicole. Good grief. 10 minutes, something like
you
that.
You curled your nose at me.
We'll see. We'll see what happens with the time. But anyway, yeah, to try to keep the episodes shorter, maybe a little bit more fast-paced, and, you know, get them rolling out there. Save us some grief as well, because we're going to be in a time crunch as well, Nicole. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it all pans out. How can the listeners find us?
Facebook?
On social media. Yes, Facebook. That's right, Nicole. On the page, A Cure for the Common Craig.
Twitter!
On Twitter at Common Craig, just Common Craig.
Instagram,
that is Cure for the Common Craig.
And our website.
And on the website, that is cureforthecommoncraig.com.
And send us an email.
You can send us an email at cureforthecommoncraig@gmail.com. All right, listeners. Look ahead in the calendar to see when the next Friday the 13th episode is coming, because you know the series isn't over yet. There's more to come.
There is more to come.
So check your calendars, because you know that's when it's coming.
Okay.
Nicole, what do you want to say to the listeners?
Thank you. Good night.
Good night, listeners.